Thank you, Mr. Trevor. Okay, we'll go to old business, please, and the case will be 11,932.
So this case is for Kelly Bivens, and she was seeking a variance from the separation requirement between units and a variance from the rear yard setback. Section 115-172 G7 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. At their last meeting, the board left the record open to subpoena the property owners, and I believe they are here tonight to answer your questions.
Okay, and I believe, Mr. Mills, I'm going to start with you because I believe that you had made the motion that we leave this open to allow us an opportunity.
One thing, Mr. Chairman, I will not participate in this case since I was not present for the hearing.
That's correct. Okay.
I think it, Mr.
You
Chairman,
to come up.
Yeah, I mean, we left it open, so I think we need to handle it like we would any other hearing.
Any other case?
Give the applicant an opportunity to come in, and I know that we did issue subpoenas, and I know that
yep.
staff is able to contact the owners as well, so I think they're here, so
yeah, we can hear
from them.
Okay.
Good evening. Kelly, why don't you come on?
I'm going to need to go get sworn in
sir,
by
yeah,
Mr.
Sir,
Sharp,
please
and then
here.
He'll get you.
Right up here.
You're
He'll
here.
Wait
yep.
for Ms. Bivens to come up, and we'll swear you both in at the same time.
Is there anyone else going to be coming up besides you? Okay.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Kelly Bivens, 18 Sweet Briar Lane, Swarovski.
Thomas Harvey Riley, 8015, Agent Court, McLean, Virginia, 22102.
And you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. If you have any exhibits, you can submit them down to Ms. Cornwell at the end.
Okay, great. I do, and I thank you for...
If you hand them to her, please.
If you would. Would you give those to her? Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you for asking me to appear. My name is Thomas Harvey Riley. I am the grandson of Harvey Spicer, the founder of the Mason-Dixon Park. Several folks present here this evening probably remember my grandfather as the former mayor of Georgetown, Delaware, as well as a Delaware State Senator, Delaware Motor Vehicles Commissioner, and entrepreneur. My grandparents owned and operated the Nancy Lee Shops here in Georgetown and Bridgeville, Harvey's Men's Store, among other entrepreneurial businesses. And he also was a founder in the Harrison House assisted living facility here in Georgetown. My mother, Nancy Spicer, the current owner of the park, grew up here in Georgetown, graduated from Georgetown High School, and inherited several properties in Georgetown and Sussex from her parents. Union Cemetery, just a few blocks south of this building, is the resting place of several generations of Spicer and Wilkins family members, as well as my own father. I'm here this evening to represent my mother, Nancy Spicer Riley. I act as the manager of the park out of my devotion for my mother as she turns 85 years old next month and has been a widow for the past 10 years. She has not been able to keep up with the requirements of running a park on a day-to-day basis for the last several years. My mother does receive 100% of the income generated at this park. The Mason-Dixon Park is comprised of four property parcels. Three of those parcels are owned by my mother's revocable trust, and the fourth is owned by my mother's cousin, James Scott. The parcel under review this evening, which we call the Mason-Dixon Annex, was started as a mobile home vacation park in the late 1960s. There are 11 lots on this parcel along the right or eastern side of Mason-Dixon Annex Place. The Mason-Dixon Park, located on the south side of Route 54, was started by Harvey Spicer in 1960 and has 30 mobile homes. The annex was expanded in 1980 with the addition of five mobile homes on the property on the left side, or the western side, of Mason-Dixon Annex Place. The property and mobile homes added in 1980, to my understanding, conform to the current zoning setback requirements. All of the parcels that comprise the Mason-Dixon Park and Annex make up a seasonal vacation mobile home park opened April through November annually. It is zoned commercial, not residential. It is governed by a commercial lease and is not the subject of the Delaware Landlord-Tenant Act, nor the Delaware Manufactured Homeowners and Community Owners Act. There is a precedence for the board granting the variance waiver that we are requesting this evening. I refer the board to case number 10155, Nancy Spicer Riley. I'm about to read an excerpt of the meetings from that board meeting, but it is included in the exhibit that I submitted. This was a previous variance hearing. Mr. Calloway, Mr. Ricard, Mr. Hudson were all present during that meeting in 2008. And I quote from the minutes, a variance for the separation requirement between the units of a mobile home park. Mr. Ricard presented the case. Nancy Spicer Riley was sworn in and testified, requesting a 2-foot variance from the required 20-foot separation between the manufactured homes on lot 5 and 6, and a 9-foot variance from the required 20-foot requirement between manufactured homes on lot 4 and 5. She testified that lot 5 is a vacant lot, that the mobile home park is non-conforming, that she would like to place a new mobile manufactured home on lot 5, and that she feels it would improve the appearance of the park. There was a motion by Mr. McCabe, seconded by Mr. Workman, and carried unanimously that the variance be granted, since the lot would not be usable if a variance was not approved, and since it meets the standards for granting a variance. The vote carried 5-0. In addition to this variance granted for lot 5, I also provide evidence that building permits were applied for and approved by Sussex County for 3 additional new mobile homes placed on non-conforming lots since 2009. Sussex County permits issued to Robert Catron on October 5th, 2009, to Richard Stapleford on December 17th, 2009, and to William Deary on February 13th, 2015. That application was for lot 10 in the Mason-Dixon Annex, which is just on the same side of the lot, of the street, just several lots down. So this evening we're here asking the board to rule consistent with the previous rulings it has made in the past. Lot 3 in the Mason-Dixon Annex is under consideration this evening. A very brief summary, on the issues related to why the lot is currently vacant. In April 2013, the Sussex County Justice of the Peace Court issued an eviction notice to Elizabeth Romano, the owner of the abandoned mobile home on Lot 3. On August 6, 2013, Sussex County Justice of the Peace Court granted ownership of the abandoned mobile home to Nancy Riley. On March 21, 2014, Sussex County Water and Sewer Authority issued a demolition permit to Coastline Excavation, and the permit was approved by Ronald Mull on March 25th, 2014. The lot has been vacant since Ms. Bivens has made an application to rent that lot with the park. In conclusion, my mother asked that I make this personal appeal to the members of the board. She has no immediate plans to change the park, and she wishes to keep it as it has been for the past 50 plus years. The issues related to this lot have caused her significant emotional and financial stress over the past 5 years. She has not received rent on this lot since 2012, and she has spent at least 6 years worth of rental income on this lot in legal fees. Nancy Spicer Riley simply wishes for Ms. Bivens to be able to place a mobile home on the lot where one had been for the prior 50 plus years. And I just want to thank you for your patience and your careful consideration of this matter.
Okay. Well, Mr. Eckert, start. If there's any questions from members of the board, and I'll start with you then, Mr. Eckert.
The criteria for a variance, could you get down there and explain that to us, the 5 reasons you want these variances?
So you want me to explain the 5 reasons for the variance?
The 5 reasons, the 5 standards that you got with her paperwork that you're representing her now, right, correct?
I'm representing my mother, yes.
Okay, and you get 5 questions asked when you make the paperwork out, and it's called the criteria for a variance.
Yes, sir.
You're asking for a lot of multiple variances. So if you address from 1 to 5, the uniqueness of the property, is there any?
Mr. Record,
have that.
If I may, I think Ms. Blevins did that when during the hearing.
Well, he hasn't.
The reason I think that we asked him to come forward is to explain what the plan was in the future for this mobile home park, and not so much to ask for the variance, which she has already done.
Well, he's also, his mother's been involved, and you've been involved, right, for quite a while. You're asking for quite a few variances here, and I want to know why these variances are being asked for, and I think you can explain that, okay, for the record.
Sir, do you want to see this?
No.
For the record, Mr. Rickard, I simply ask for the same reason that the board voted unanimously in previous years. None of the variance situations have changed over the last dozen years.
Okay, so how about if I just ask you this one? May I do that, Mr. Chairman?
Ask him one?
No, I'll ask him the five questions.
Is he?
That's why you want to see that?
Go ahead and ask, and then I'll
let you know. Okay, the uniqueness of the property. Is there a uniqueness of this property in your mind that it is rentable to you and your mother? Okay, there's uniqueness to this property.
You're asking me if this lot is unique?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
To require a variance?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's narrow.
It's narrow. Okay. Yeah. There you go. See where we're going with this?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to get it in the record from you.
I understand. I'm with you.
You own the park, so.
I do not own the park.
Well, your mother does. Okay.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, let's see here. Cannot otherwise be developed. Could it be developed any other way?
I would hope not. There are probably hundreds of things I could think of putting on a small lot, but okay, none that would conform with the rest of the park.
Okay, her answer is that she's using a 14 by 70, and that's about as much as she can use there.
That's
the correct?
Best, yeah.
You agree with it?
I agree. That's the smallest that we can find.
Well, not all of the central character of the neighborhood.
No, it will not alter the.
Okay, fine.
Character.
Minimum. This is the minimum variance you are seeking for relief.
Yes, sir.
All these variances.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Mr. Wortman.
No questions.
That's it.
Mr. Riley, the reason that we subpoenaed you is because, according to Ms. Blevins' testimony, she couldn't find a mobile home the same size. Therefore, she needed a variance, and not only just a variance like we've approved in the past, but a greater variance. And, you know, in your testimony that you just stated, that your mom has no plans to change the park. However, the park changes when you go to replace something. And that's where we find ourselves now. And couple of the variances that you're asking for is, you know, 10 feet, in excess of 10 feet. And that's better than half of the distance required between separation of units. So my question to you is, what is the plan for the park in the future if you can't get a mobile home that's only 10 feet wide now, or even 12 feet wide, right, as Ms. Blevins testified to, that the minimum is now 14 wide? What's the plan in the future? Because Mr. Rickard had brought up the standards for granting a variance, and one of the standards is that it can't have been created by the applicant, or that it doesn't alter the essential character of the neighborhood. Until we're convinced that, yeah, you meet the standards, then, you know, it's difficult for us to grant the variance. And so I'd like to hear, you know, what the plan is. If the plan is in the future to, you know, just replace them, I'm not sure that that's a good enough answer for us.
Right. Mr. Mills, thank you. I think I understand that is there a plan moving forward? And if so, we are open to assistance from the county board to provide guidance to how we can conform. At this time, with water pipes in the ground and such already, you know, in place at these specific lots, I can't imagine moving existing mobile. So at this time, what, you know, we don't have plans to make those moves. If there was a, if we were allowed years to put forth a plan, which hopefully we don't have to do, because as my mom mentioned, as I mentioned on behalf of my mother, we hope that there are no further changes. However, if using creativity, if you have a you have the survey provided by the applicant in front of you, there's Riley Place. Well, my name's Tom Riley, and I'd love to get rid of that street name. As a matter of fact, the sign is stolen off of Route 54 every time we put one back up. There's other Rileys out there that like that sign. If we could close off, this is just creativity speaking, and looking at the survey, if we were to close off Riley Place and just use Mason-Dixon Annex Place as the access road, that would allow more space for lot 1, 2, and 3. We could pull them away from the property line. We get into the logistics are not my expertise to try and figure out how we get move existing mobiles that were probably all but probably 4 or 5 have been in place for 50 plus years. It just doesn't seem logistically possible to move those 6 or 7 feet at a time without destroying those in the process as well.
What are you going to do about parking? As you know, you put larger mobile homes in, you decrease parking.
Help me with larger, defining larger.
Ms. Blevins, what size mobile home was there?
It's a 14 by 60.
That you want to put in there. And what was there before?
That I don't know.
I thought your testimony last time was that it was 10 foot
or
12?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 10 or 12 foot. Yeah, because that's what they made then.
So see, you're larger right there. So you're creating.
Wider and longer.
I don't know if the veterans are on this or not. I did send a fax to Mr. Callaway on March the 8th, which was also in the package. It was received by the fax machine sent me that it was received, and I have that in front of me as well. This does not, but let me see if this other one has the measurements. The fax that was sent on March the 8th and received.
Perhaps, Mr. Riley, if you have a copy of that, just to so make sure we have it in the record.
You do.
You can submit it to Ms. Cornwell, and we can put it in the record.
Yeah,
it's not already there.
It should be in the package. If it's not,
we do have a copy. We received it. It was dated March 8th. We received it March 23rd.
That was the day after the hearing.
Right. It looks like we got the a letter in the mail. Is that everything that you just submitted?
Fortunately, I brought you a fax cover sheet that says that your fax received it on the 8th.
All right.
Yeah, the lot size didn't change. If you look at the third page of the that I just handed you, is there a measurement for lot 3, the mobile home on lot 3?
This annex, when was that created? What, you said 50 years ago?
No, the annex was created in 1968.
Okay.
My grandfather bought land from Howard Abbott in 1980, and 5 units were added on the western side of Mason-Dixon Annex Place. Those are conforming lots.
Well, in your testimony, it states the annex was expanded in 1980. So
it's a different parcel of land, according to county records. It's dot 68 instead of 70, or vice versa, 70 instead of 68. It is a conforming parcel land. The annex from the 1968, the survey that I have right here, that is coming across the board. This is the original survey from 1968.
It was conforming then. It's now becoming non-conforming.
And if I didn't, Pardon me for not testifying. Everything was conforming at the time it was built. Thank you.
But now it's not, though.
With small...
Well, of course not, because, you know, I renovated my kitchen, and my GFCI outlets weren't conforming until I renovated them and put new ones in. I mean, standards change over the years.
Sizes change. We're not talking... Sizes change of the trailer, what we're talking about there, right? I'm not talking about GF. I'm talking about the size of the trailer, right?
Right.
We're, yeah. I guess what we're trying to convey, at least I'll speak for myself, if not for the other members, is that unless you have a plan for the future of what to do other than request variances, which, in my opinion, you don't meet all the standards, you have to meet all five, then I think the board's probably inclined to deny most, if not all of them. So, you know, we're looking for some answers from you.
Sure. Well, and I was subpoenaed to come. 2 weeks ago was the board hearing. I made a presentation that said the board and the county has approved these for years. What you're telling me is in the last 2 weeks, I can't come up with a plan. And I did hint, if I don't know that if I can say, can you tell me yes or no? Hey, if I close off Riley Place so that it doesn't enter Route 54 and we give more space for this lot, I mean, I need your guidance. So the county needs to tell me that. That's what I brought as plan number one. If the board is saying to the property owner, you're going to have to change the use, which I don't think you're saying to me.
No, we're not talking about use.
Okay, good.
But we are talking about your request for greater variances than what has been given in the past, and is what we're inclined to believe now doesn't meet the standards. You know, before, if you're asking, and they were probably a couple of feet, but now you're starting to ask for more than 50% of the setback requirements,
right?
And that's of great concern. I mean, you know, there's, I think one of the primary reasons for the 20-foot separation between units is a safety thing from fire and so forth.
Yes.
You know, so I'm sure that, you know, you folks, your liability is of concern there as well.
Amen.
Mr. Sharp, I'm gonna refer to you in his question about the street and how to go about it, or the county to offer assistance. What is your...
Well, this is kind of a... we don't see these, as you all know, on a regular basis,
right?
But what it appears we have is a mobile home park that was created prior to the enactment of our zoning code, probably not long before it, but before it. And it looks like you got 11 lots on... how many acres is that? How many?
That particular parcel, and you'll forgive me if I'm wrong, like 2 point something.
You know, okay.
I don't know how.
So there's 11 mobile homes on 2 some odd acres, and then I see the parcel next to it where you have the 5, and that looks to be slightly smaller, though not much smaller. It might even be the same size. So I think the concern that the board had at the last meeting, and I'm just going to articulate this to you, is that you're replacing a... you had a home that came off that was an old home that was smaller. Now you're putting a bigger home on that same general area, with the idea that I need to put that on there because I could fit 11 units on this 2 acres before, and now I want to continue to put 11 units on there, but they don't make homes that are that small anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I've also heard you testify to tonight is that you have at least 4, I think you said, that have been there that are 50 years old.
No, 4 new ones.
4 new ones.
Yeah, so there's 4 that have been put in the last 7 years, 8 years.
So how many of them are old or 50 years old, or that range?
Is it okay if I walk over?
Sure,
and
sure, sure.
And before I do so, I just want to reply to Mr. Mills, if I may. Mr. Mills stated that I'm asking for greater variances this evening. I'm not. If you look at the minutes of the 2008 meeting, those variances were greater to or equal the side variances, not the front back, and I think we can deal with the front back, but the side variances that are being requested tonight are 9.4 and 9.5, and that's between a screened-in porch. I mean, if I need to go to a tenant and make it worth their while to take down a screened-in porch, we have 17 feet.
Well, we have in this one, in the current one that I'm looking at, we have a 10.5-foot variance between your unit and a screened porch on your neighbor.
Yeah.
So it is...
I must not be looking at the same one.
I have the survey dated September 30, 2016.
Okay.
So, you know, there is a, and we're also looking at 10 variances. I'm not sure. I don't have the minutes in front of me as to how many were granted in 2008. But that's one of the other things that at the last board meeting kind of, I think I speak for the board, kind of caught the board's attention.
Could you repeat that? What?
There's 10 different variances being sought here. So it's getting it in all directions, and that is something that we don't see very often. So the concern there is that you're replacing an old one with a newer one that's bigger, and you're putting that kind of peg in this hole, and at some point, presumably there may be others that will likewise need to be replaced as they age as well. And are we going to see similar types of things throughout this community, which when you look at that, I think that was a concern that I know Mr. Mills had brought up at the last meeting, that there's a lot going on that small parcel.
There certainly is.
So one question I've got for you, and maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill here, but could you go up and just point out, I presume some of these, because I'm not sure how old this photo is.
Sure.
How many have been replaced and which ones have been replaced? And you said in the last 7 years, I think.
Okay. In the last 7 years?
I think that was...
In this photo, only this one.
Okay. And which... Now... You said that there's been four, though, correct, that have been replaced?
Gentlemen, this is the good side. This is what we call the annex. This is the park. This is 1960s. There probably is some change that needs to take place over here.
Okay, so you're talking on the other side of 54.
This is the only unit. This was Mr. Deary's 2015 application that was approved by the Sussex County. And there were no setback requirements needed, to my knowledge.
There were no variances needed?
To my knowledge. There's a building permit. I couldn't find a variance.
Did he get a certificate of compliance with that?
Yeah, and I put it in the package that I delivered to you.
I see one.
Yeah. It's in the back.
The county did verify that there was a CO issued for a certificate of compliance, and the new mobile home did meet separation requirements.
2015.
For the most recent mobile home. I can also note that I did speak with Mrs. Riley at the last meeting, the last meeting and between meetings, and her intent is to try and keep as many of the existing mobile homes and just rehab them as they are needed. And she also noted that there would probably be fewer variances needed over here as these back up to the lagoon. Back here, where the ones where Mrs. Bivens is looking at is actually a little bit smaller and backs up to mobile homes on the other side, and that the most recent one actually did comply with the 20-foot separation distance and the front and rear yard setbacks.
That's correct. And again, what my mother explained to Ms. Cornwell was, this unit was, for lack of a better term, vandalized by the previous owner. Otherwise, they could have sold it. But they removed every window, every sink, every toilet, every, you name it. If it could be removed, they threw it in a trash can and left my mother with an unusable lot. That's the only reason it was torn down.
That's exactly what has happened here. I mean, in the final analysis of all the testimony and everything we've discussed, what's really happened is when you had that vandalism and you went through all that and had to take everything off of there, you left a lot there. In my mind, it's not buildable. That's what happened. You was forced into something that couldn't conform with the
code. So Mr. Rickert,
I'm saying that's, I agree with you. That's exactly what's happened here.
I disagree because on 2008, you personally voted for a variance less than what we're applying for today.
I personally?
On side variances.
I did.
No, he didn't vote then. He presented the case.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I read the minutes, and it's in your name was.
That's all right. That's okay.
You presented the case. I assume you're.
I've done a lot of jobs for the county, so.
Okay. I do some odd jobs for my mother as well.
Yeah, I was the secretary. I presented the case. You have that right.
I apologize.
Does your mother own those mobiles?
No, she owns the land.
Just the land.
Just the land. My mother does own one mobile. This mobile.
Okay. So the only question I got, if she had approved, get hers put in there, and they get that in there, and somebody else said, well, I think I want to update mine now. What's going to happen? They want to put a new one in. Like John was saying, I mean.
Yeah, what are we going to do then?
I understand.
I mean, she put that in, and then it gets approved.
Well.
That's going to open a door.
I understand.
And then our leg is where we're going to stand on.
Well, my testimony this evening is being read into the record, and I spoke with Ms. Bivens in the hallway before we came in, and you'll have my word that I wouldn't support that application for a variance.
Then you were saying you were going to upgrade the other ones?
By upgrade, when my mother met with Ms. Cornwell the week before last, put new siding on, put new roofs on, renovate the interiors, but not expand them.
Okay, now who's doing that?
The owners.
The owners. You can make the owners do that then?
Oh, yeah. I would imagine that the Sussex County Building Inspector could either condemn or require repairs. I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean, then if they condemn it and it's not livable and they got to move it, then what are you going to do with the lot?
Well,
see, right back to
that's
what,
where
Mr.
we
Mills
go to Mr. Mills's question.
That's what we're doing. Come right back to Mr. Mills.
I completely understand the overall concept, and I want to comply with the board, and I also want to, you know, hopefully help my mother and help Ms. Bivens with placement of a mobile. But lacking, when you ask for a Town of Georgetown master plan, you give plenty of time, and the only thing I can think of, if you allow me to walk over and show you,
sure,
off the cuff this evening, this is what's known as Riley Place. Oops, I shouldn't touch. And this is Mason-Dixon Annex Place. Well, if we close this off, you know, in the future, this is the resident manager's mobile. He's, if we eventually moved this unit at some point in the future, that would give each of these four units more space this way. I'll point out this something tonight that eats on me. The gray property next door encroaches onto my mother's land. They have impervious concrete walls right across onto here. You can see it, corner of the property. But that would allow setback here, and then it just goes to what I mentioned before. We would like to have a plan to set new water lines and such in the future, but in a limited amount of time. I'm certainly thinking of options. I just don't have a plan that I can present to you this evening that would say this is how we'll handle it in the future. I am receiving the message that the board is sending that we don't want to place new mobile homes in the future. I don't necessarily agree with it because I simply am a citizen who looks at the precedents that the cases that preceded this. I don't want to say the word precedent, but the cases that preceded it, we would ask the board to use the same consideration that you did previously.
10 variants. How many variances is on them ones that we did then before? There's as many?
On this property?
No, y'all, I mean on this other one he's talking, because one of them didn't need any, the one in 2015, right. Correct?
So the one, in 2008.
Yeah, 2008. Did they have as many or request as many?
Mm-hmm. Looks like there was at least two.
Only two for 2008.
And that would be my understanding as well. But I do believe we would eliminate, going off this short-term plan that I'm trying to come up with, if we moved it away farther into the gravel roadway that you see, we would probably eliminate some of the, at least four of the setbacks. So instead of being 10, it would be...
No, I'm just trying to get a better understanding, because you said, you know, that you didn't want to use the word precedent, because there may be as many, but we had two variances in 2008, now we got 10 for this one here, so there is a big difference. So would you not say it was being created to get a bigger trailer on the lot? Yes or no?
No.
I mean, so we're trying to get a bigger trailer on the lot, correct?
We're putting the same size trailer on this lot that was put on the lot in 2008. In 2000, the variance that I am referring to for lot 5 in the Mason-Dixon court,
right,
from the vote in 2008, they didn't make 10-foot mobiles then either. That I'm sure that's a 14-foot.
Where did you get the 10 or 12 foot from? Where did you get the 10 or 12 foot from then?
Besides some of them are older, and the older trailers are 10 foot and 12 foot.
Right.
The only ones that are 10 foot or 12 foot are from the 1960s or 70s.
The previous variances.
And there's none in
there. That's okay. Go ahead, Mr. Mills.
The previous variances weren't approved in the annex. They were approved in the park, correct?
Right. Right.
Which is a tighter space.
Which is not the property we're in
that
question.
We're talking about.
Correct. Okay. But it's a much tighter space.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm trying to get
irrelevant to us. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Trying to get separated.
I don't know how the others feel right now. I would be willing. I'm not convinced that they meet the standards for granting variance. However, I would be willing to allow them the rest of the evening or as much time as they need to get, you know, have the opportunity towards the end of the meeting to address those standards. Mm-hmm. That's up to you guys. I mean,
I go along. I can go with that. Can you?
I
would agree with Mr. Mills, except I think you better concentrate on. Do you have a copy of the standards?
I do not.
Okay, concentrate on number 3. I think you're going to find out that you're going to have a hard time because you're created. You're being created by the applicant. Okay, and I think that's one of the hang-ups. Also, you go through here where you're saying uniqueness of the property, that's fine, but I still think that the number 3, it said not created by the applicant. Convince us that you're not creating these variances.
There's a set of standards in the back of the room, and what we can do
is
we
copy them.
I understand that.
We can leave the hearing open.
I would ask for clarification, because when I go to the back of the room, I don't know how I'm going to change.
Let me briefly tell you what they are. Is that what you're asking?
No.
Okay.
I was going to ask for the members, Mr. Calloway and Mr. Hudson, who were present in 2008, I don't understand how there would be a difference in standard number 3 that you voted yes. And then
each and every time you come before the board, you have to convince the board, whether they're past members or not. You have to convince the board that you meet those standards, and there's 5 standards. You have to meet all 5. There's the question of uniqueness, and you'll read in, you know, on the standards what, you know, it can't otherwise be developed in strict conformity, but and so forth, that it can't otherwise be developed. That it's not the hardship or exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. It doesn't alter the essential character of the neighbor or be detrimental to public welfare. And that it's a minimum variance to afford relief. So we can't grant a variance until we are convinced that you meet those standards, and you have to convince us of that. So what we're willing to do, because for the sake of time, we've been here 45 minutes now, we're offering that you could, you know, go ahead and take a look at those, come back and address that at the end of the evening.
Mr. Mills, if I may add to that point, I think Mr. Riley, your question, I think I was reading between the lines, was you approved it in 08, what's different now? And one of the things that is different is in the interim, the Supreme Court has come out with a different interpretation of Sussex County's Board of Adjustment Standards, variance standards, which requires us to individually look at those 5 standards rather than doing a balancing test. So when you came before the board in 2008, there was a different standard that was applying at that time.
So I can't imagine waiting till the end of the meeting to just come back to you and say what the only issue that I can think of is there, as far as the applicant not creating this need, the reason number three, there simply is not a 10-foot trailer that can be found to be put on this lot.
And the onus would be back on the property owner to do something about that, to either redistribute the lots or something different. That's the onus is back on the owner then to meet the standard or meet the county setback.
So she can put a trailer on there then, which she needs.
That's so, what I was trying, so you may, trying to get you to.
So we're offering that to you. You may want, you know, after listening to a couple cases, you may better understand what we're looking for. That's, it's up to you. But, you know, other than, like I say, I'm not convinced. So my, right at this point right now, I would have a tendency to vote against approving the variance. However, if you can convince us otherwise, then I'm open to that.
And to agree, you've heard me hit you with that number three all the time, which you well in your brain now that number three on their list is not created by the applicant, and you're not meeting the five.
And we might just want to clarify, Ms. Bivens is the applicant, not Mr. Riley.
Okay.
So she is the applicant.
Well, but she's not.
She's not here, so I'm
speaking. She's standing right there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I was asked to testify, and I think you just made the case for Ms. Bivens. I'll step away, and she can say she didn't create this, and the owner can't do anything about it before the end of this meeting.
Whatever you can do to convince us, it's fine. It's open. The meeting's open to what she wants to say.
I mean, she can't.
Like I said, based on her on the testimony we heard before, and it's not personal or anything. It's just
she can't do it.
The facts, we can't, I don't feel that you meet the standards for granting a variance. I'm offering that, you can meet with the owner and perhaps they can help you come up with those, the reasons for us to grant that.
Yeah. All right, we'll have to reapply, I guess,
because. No, you're going to wait till the end of the meeting.
I'll wait till the end of the meeting. Okay, we'll talk. Okay.
And so there's a table in the back there if you'd like to use that. There's in the back you'll also find a copy of the standards for granting a variance.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I think you do need a motion.
Need a motion.
I make a motion that we leave the hearing open for the applicant to come back
to
later
end
this
of the
evening.
Meeting. End of the meeting.
Yep. And address the standards for granting a variance.
Got a second?
I'll second it.
Got a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards. That we leave case number 11,932 open to the end of the meeting to allow the applicant a chance to address the five standards for the granting of the variance. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, next case, please.
The next application is case 11,934. Alan and Karen Place seek a variance from the side yard setback sections 115-42B, 115-181B, and 115-183C of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Canvas Back Road, approximately 2,070 feet north of Swan Drive. The 911 address is 37078 Canvas Back Road, Selbyville. The zoning district is GR. The tax map is District 533, map 12.16, parcel 371. Specifically, they're requesting variances for a 5-foot side yard setback, an 8.2-foot variance for the HVAC for the side yard, a 3.4-foot variance for the side yard for the steps, and a 1.8-foot variance for the side yard for the second floor covered porch. We received no letters in opposition, no letters in support, and we received 3 mail returns. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record? Okay, can you wait right here?
Karen Place, 570-2071.
And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. And you can just have a seat. Mr. Fuqua will